Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service.
Got a few things going on. We got J-Rob back on Good Morning Football.
Yes.
J-Rob has become a TV star. How about that? We also have Josh McDaniels up here saying that Stephon Diggs is staying up on all the information.
It's good to
material.
Know.
Staying up all night. He's able to stay up all night and study. It's amazing. I got David from Paris. I know this is not the topic, right, but I got to get to this.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just deciding to just blab about everything.
Go ahead.
He says, think about it. Have you ever in the history of successful coaches in the Super Bowl said, boy, that's one nice coach, super nice guy. Yeah, have you ever heard of Bill Walsh before?
Dick Vermeil?
Yeah, there's plenty, dude. Yeah, not every coach is one like, football!
I mean, Andy Reid?
Seriously. Like, David, like, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I'm sorry to attack you like this, but, like, really? Yes, there's plenty of coaches who Andy have been Reid. Successful in the NFL who aren't Vrabel. I mean, God.
I consider Dungy kind of a nice guy.
Yeah, yes. I would say so.
Yes. There's you make me go through the freaking – I mean, everybody isn't Vince Lombardi, man. You know? There are different ways to do this. And, yes, Brian Callahan's demeanor, personality, that can work. I mean, McVay is – a little bit wonky and like intense, but I mean McVay Shanahan, that's the model. That's what everybody wants, is one of these, you know, offensive, you know, cerebral, scientific, not central casting football coach guy. That's what so look, I understand that the guy went 3-14, so you can be down on him. You can think he stinks a lot. But if you're saying, look, that personality can't possibly work in the NFL. Like, you can't possibly have ever watched the league.
I mean, Andy Reid. We do nothing but Andy Reid. Like, wow, that guy really talks about cheeseburgers a lot.
Yeah.
He really likes him some cheeseburgers.
What a great mustache.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to go through all the Super Bowl winners and tally up how many of these. I mean, so let's see. Who are the coaches that are, you know, the gruff, like, classic, you know, tough guy coaches?
Well, I mean,
Belichick,
yeah,
Parcells.
Belichick, Parcells is one for sure. I mean, you know, what is Gruden?
I mean,
Gruden's loud.
Yeah, he'd probably fall more in that category, I guess. I mean, I guess that's fine. Like, he doesn't necessarily fall into the, you know, chill, nice guy, let's collaborate. Although, I don't necessarily think that he falls into the other category, too. I mean, it's hard to put it into two categories.
What is Bruce Arians?
Yeah, I mean, more like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Won it all.
But, I mean, here's another, you know, talking about nice guy, like easygoing dude. I mean, Pete Carroll.
Yes.
Pete Carroll. I mean,
yeah,
a little.
There are
probably the secret to his success, right? Of why he's been able to do it as long as he has, is how laid back he is.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've got your. I mean, I would even say like a guy like Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
You know, who's a protege.
I mean, you've had your
Coryell. Like, yeah. You got your Dicka.
Well, Coughlin. You know, Coughlin won a couple of the Giants.
Sure.
He's intense, dude.
Yeah. But I mean, come on.
The point is.
Yeah. The point is
different styles.
The point is, huh?
Different styles out there.
David says, good point. I'll go away now, LOL. Don't go away. I'm just saying, like, come on.
Somebody throwing Mike McDaniel out there, but he's not one yet. So, see. But that style, for sure, right? Like, he's an interesting dude.
Yeah, that's very interesting dude. This texture says, you're going out of your way to take up for Beta Brian. Guy isn't cut out to be a head coach. Again, he may not be. But it's not because you have to be some dude who smashes your head into the wall and you know, shotguns a beer before the game to be able to be a successful head coach.
Well, it's interesting to me. And, again, I never bought into this. I don't think you did either, just because I thought it was a mistake to fire Mike Vrabel. And I guess we'll end up seeing whether or not it was. But it is interesting to me how, like, we spent so much time at the end of Vrabel here, talking about how much of a kind of a hardline guy he is, and now that Callahan's coming in, you know, think about the conversations, not even just from us, from the team this time last year of like, oh, man, it's nice to be able to show up and just a different approach from these coaches out here, and everything's all easy going, and, you know, everybody's not, they don't feel like they're walking on eggshells out here, and our coaches are making corrections now. Apparently the last staff just didn't do that. I think these conversations just get so exaggerated all the time.
It's so bad. It's and again, this is like this is universal across sports, really. But I feel like football even more. This, you know, whoever the new coach is, what it's usually pretty different from the last coach. A lot of times it's like, oh, let's go with this kind of guy. Oh, no, now we need to go with this kind of guy, right? And then everything is like, oh, the last staff was bad. This is good, you know. Let's just see. Texter says Brian Callahan is a mouse. But again, this goes along with, I just feel like for us, for our listeners, I don't know if it's surprising. They were bad last year, but I feel like there is more instinct to blame him than I think there should be. Again, we'll see. But I, like, some people are just out on him, just totally out on him, like he's the issue. I really think that he was coaching a very bad football team, guys. That doesn't mean he's a good coach, and he should have done more with it. 3-14 is 3-14, but it was a very bad football
team. It was. Yeah, look, we're going to find out, I think, pretty quickly this year, right? I mean, you know, so much of it is about Cam Ward, but, you know, there are obvious improvements to this, not just him, the whole staff that they're going to have this year if he's going to be the head coach as they move forward here. I mean, there's – yeah, and I think he knows that, right? I think he kind of talked about that at the end of last year of, you know, being more of the CEO and maybe worrying a little bit less about the offense and more so having his hands on the whole thing. And, you know, in retrospect, Joe, one thing we brought up at the time that we were curious to see that I think absolutely did not go well last year was – not just the first-time head coach, but the first-time offensive coordinator and the first-time defensive coordinator. It was not a good mix for the Titans last year, and right. I think it became very obvious. So the question is, do you believe that they can grow and get better? That's what we're going to find out this year. Because if you can't, if they can, it's easy. I mean, if it's obvious 7 games in this year that this is a staff that's just in over its head, then I think we're going to know, and we'll be talking about moving on from them at some point. But I'm leaving some room here, even as a person who wanted Brian Callahan fired after last year, really more so to do with the situation than specifically him. I'm leaving some room that maybe there is some growth heading into year two.
Texter says, the problem is that Callahan brings nothing to the table other than his niceness. Well, how do you know that? Like, to me, he's like a nice, like he explains things, a nice guy, whatever. But to me, the thing that stands out to me about him is I think he's smart. Again, it doesn't mean he's going to be a good coach. Doesn't mean he can handle a locker room, all that stuff. It's a hard job, but I don't think he's just like, hey, everybody.
Guys, if he brought nothing else to the table other than his niceness, do you not think the players could see through that, right? I mean,
right.
Again, I get the conversation around him. Until proven otherwise, he's a 3-14 head coach. So I get it. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it's about in the NFL. But, again, that comment is an example of taking things too far. When you look at – you have to look at the situation around it and say, well, if that was actually the case and he's just some, you know, airhead out there that doesn't know anything, how has he been able to move up in his career? How has he been able to connect with these players?
Yeah, it's funny because I think it was his introductory presser. I think that's when it was. Somebody asked him about – there was something that went viral and he unloaded on the Bengals. Like, he's just F-bomb laden. And, again, it was notable because they were like, whoa, Callahan. But, I mean, that does exist. That you can probably find that on the internet. Maybe some Titans fans will feel better if they found it. It's not like he never gets mad. Look, we saw him lose his crap on the sideline last year, like early in the year.
I mean, maybe the best thing, the Titans social media, like their in-house team, maybe the best thing they could do is just like mic him up for camp and have him just losing his mind on somebody out there and just, yeah, put it out there. Why not?
Maybe, right? Yeah, make people feel a little bit better.
I do think there's a lot of room for him to improve this year. Like, I think I think we'll see a big leap in some of the things. I'm not exactly sure how or what whether it's some type of game management thing or challenges or just penalties. I feel like there's going to be some type of improvement somehow in the detail. I'm not exactly sure what, but
well, and again, if there's not, then you know, right? Like if we're looking out there this year, and they're a 4-win football team, and they just take terrible penalties all the time, and they can't get anything going in the second half, then you're going to know at that point that he's in over his head, and it's time to make a change. Like, I'm not totally discounting that's a possibility. I just think if you're so far out of him that you're not even willing to consider the possibility that maybe he gets better in year two with better quarterback play, then I don't know where we're at in that conversation.
Yeah, if he came in and took over a good team, then that'd be one thing. But that's not the case. Tom Flores, another nice example. Couple title there. Very, very chill. Very chill Tom Flores with the Raiders.
More of your Titans thoughts to get into coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit PFLMMA.com/schedule for more details. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Mark from Hendersonville says, I've had a lot of coaches that were really nice and easygoing, but behind the scenes expected a lot of the players and weren't so nice or easygoing. Which could be the case for Brian Callahan. We'll see. I mean, look, I think Brian Callahan, and I think this came up a few times last year. Like, Brian Callahan, nice guy. Seems like he's pretty easy to get along with. I don't think that you can get to the point that he's at as a head coach in the National Football League without having the ability to get after people when you need to get after people. Now, I think, you know, there are some people that do it more and are better at it than others. But I don't think that you can get to being a head coach in the NFL in an environment like the ones that are in the NFL that are as hyper-competitive as it gets without the ability to get after some people when you want it or when you need to. I mean, look, I mean, this is not the greatest example, but think about Levis coming off the field last year in the Jets game after he rolled the ball on the ground and Callahan's like, what the F are you doing? Just like screaming at him on the sideline. Like, I can promise you he gets after people when he needs to.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's a good coach, doesn't mean he's a bad coach, but you can do that.
Well, and you're trying to put coaches in two categories, which I guess, you know, it's kind of a fun exercise. You know, tough guy or nice guy coach. But Vrabel, oh, I mean, huge dude, and he could be, again, Vrabel's F-bomb laden analysis throughout practice is fantastic. But also Vrabel, a lot of those guys would tell you he was very much a player's coach. I mean, he let guys do things. He gave guys leeway when they had stuff going on. Yeah, so it's not like he was just sitting there like, no, you do this now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we overblow these conversations a lot. So we'll see. We'll see what Brian Callahan has learned as he heads into year two as head coach. Joe, a question to get to on Cam Ward part of this. So I don't know if you saw the video over the weekend. The Titans released this video of Cam Ward throwing a pass, and it's like broken down in slow motion, and it's this nice sidearm delivery where it's a great ball right in stride, and it's like, wow, look at that arm angle that he threw the ball from. And, of course, some Titans fans saw it and were like, this guy is the best player in the league. He's the best player in the league. This guy is going to be unbelievable, which is fine. I'm not saying you can't be excited about Cam Ward, and that's what this time of the year is for, and this happens every year when teams – you know, put out highlight videos and fans respond to it and all that. My question for you is kind of more all-encompassing on the Cam Ward front. Like, this is organizationally, if you've been a Titans fan for a long time, you have seen them draft Vince Young, attempt to make him the starting or the franchise quarterback. Looked like it was going to go great for a couple of years, and then it didn't. Jake Locker never really looked like it was going to go great, and it kind of flamed out pretty quickly. Marcus, as you pointed out, had a great second year for the Titans. Looked like he was going to be on his way. And then ultimately it did not work out as the starting quarterback of the Titans. Will Levis had a fantastic first game. Had a couple of good moments his rookie year. Looked like there was some promise there, and it did not work out to be starting quarterback of the Titans. So if you're a Titans fan, particularly one that's been long-suffering and has watched all this go down, what should the approach be when it comes to Cam Ward and when to be quote-unquote all in, when to be excited, what's real, what's not when it comes back to the quarterback position as you move forward into this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you're going multiple years into some of these tenures, especially, again, I think as of the win over Kansas City in Marcus's second year, when I don't know how the heck
suck up.
It was suck up, right? I don't know how the heck I still don't know how he hit that big block of ice as far as he did. But at that point, I would say Titans fan, like it was probably 98% approval rating for Marcus Mariota. And it wasn't like he was throwing for 350 every game, but he was pretty good, man. And they were winning. And then he goes and gets his leg broken the next week at Jacksonville. And I honestly don't think he was ever the same after that. But so that happens. So that you're talking about the end of the second year with a guy.
Yep. Vince Young won Rookie of the Year and got the Titans to the playoffs the second year.
Yeah.
And then it totally fell apart. By the way, by year three, he wasn't even the starting quarterback when they went through the 08 season, right?
I mean,
it's crazy how quick things change in this league.
That dissolved. And that one, it seems like that one was him screwing up some stuff for sure.
Yep.
But also then, well, how do you know that's going to happen after those 2 years, you know? I mean, that's where, to me, like Vince Young is one of those guys that an all-time, like, what could have been player in this league. But so, again, it seems like Cam Ward is – there's a lot more, I think. Like, it's almost 20 years later, right? I think there's a lot more just constant scrutiny on the – even looking at with the team social media stuff, like – I feel like there's a lot more you can follow along on a daily basis more now, as that's what these businesses are trying to get you to do. And it seems like Cam Ward, you know, has a great approach and all that, which is great.
Yep.
But, I mean, Will Levis does too, and look what it got him.
Right.
You know,
it only gets you so far.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I feel like if you get to – well, look, first of all, the answer is – like for a lot of people, it's going to be this first good game he has. They're going to be all in.
Exactly.
That's what it is, right? But
is that the right way to approach it? Like one texter
probably
right now
not,
says,
but
I'm all in already. It's more fun than just a doubt. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, we'll see, I guess, with Jaden Daniels. But I doubt very seriously that Jaden Daniels is going to come out in year two and just not be any good. Like some guys, you see it and you're like, yeah, I think he's just pretty good, right? Maybe we see that early on with Cam Ward, and it's like, yeah, I think this kid's going to be pretty good. Like, frankly, it didn't take very long watching Patrick Mahomes where you're like, yeah, I think he's going to be pretty good. I think he's got some staying power. Again, I'm not trying to compare Ward to Mahomes, but there are guys that you watch in the league where you look at it and you say, yeah, it doesn't take me very long to come to the conclusion that this is a legit dude, and I wonder how long that's going to be. Now, having said that, you know, go watch Vince Young's rookie year, especially the second part of it. I probably would have said that after that.
I was like, yeah, this guy's unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, especially with him after what he did in college. I was totally all in on him just as a football fan, 100%. I was stunned that, like, it crumbled like it did. But obviously, we don't see everything behind the scenes, you know? So, and that was a big part of that story, I believe.
Yep.
So, you're right. Sometimes you just see someone and it's like, that guy is different, like Mahomes. Maybe it's something like that this year. I just don't think Cam Ward – I think he's talented, but I don't think he has that kind of electric again, Patrick Mahomes. It's like that should just not be the comparison for anybody. But you saw it right away with Burrow. And then, again, you flip it around and – we've talked about this, but you were not exactly optimistic that Jordan Love was going to work out when he had his early chances to play, right?
Yep.
There was nothing, no reason
good.
To be
Jordan
all that excited
Love.
About it.
Thank you.
Nice. So, but that's not going to be the story here because Cam Ward is going to be starting from day one.
DK in Mount Juliet says, been here since day one. I have no faith in what this franchise is doing at quarterback until proven otherwise. Another texter, JW, says, reserved excitement, the way to go. Reserved excitement.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, look.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I
understand the history of the franchise. But, look, I'll use the Lions as an example. I mean, they were going through the quarterback wilderness for decades. It didn't give them much, but Matthew Stafford was a real dude. And it's still, some Lions fans are still like, yeah, I just don't believe it. It's like, no, actually, that dude is good. I mean, your team still stinks, but that guy is good. So even if your franchise has a history of botching these, usually a franchise is going to bungle their way into one at some point, right?
You would think. I got one texter that says, imagine Vince Young in today's game when they wouldn't try to force him into being a pocket passer. Maybe. I mean, I still, like, the accuracy was never great with Vince Young. And frankly, like, his problem would be more his approach, really, regardless of what era he played in. I mean, based on some of the stuff that's come out about Vince Young with the Titans, since he's been with the Titans, I don't know that his approach and mindset was necessarily the path to being a successful quarterback, really regardless of what era he played in.
Yeah, I don't think you should attribute his failures to other people, from what I know. Which is sad. It sucks.
Yeah, because boy, when he was on, he was fun to watch. There's no doubt about that. Yeah,
I mean, there were plenty of QB, like, it's not like every QB 20 years ago had to be just a straight up pocket passer. I mean, there was, you know, Michael Vick was in the league then. Remember that guy?
I mean, Steve McNair wasn't a straight-up pocket passer all the time.
Yeah.
Not the same as Vince Young.
Fran Tarkenton wasn't either, by the way.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. Plus, an interesting story in college football about a quarterback that maybe potentially passed on Tennessee. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday night. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday night. Again, no word on whether or not Rex Rowe is going to be in attendance at the concert.
And by the way, someone said Charlotte, so that's the baby is Charlotte. Lil Baby is not from Charlotte.
Yeah, we got told yesterday Lil Baby's from Charlotte. Apparently that's the baby.
Yep.
Have we determined where Lil Baby's from?
I'm going to find out. Damn it.
Apparently Atlanta.
There you go. Yep. The texter said that, and I just forgot. Okay. So there you go. Lil Baby. Actually, Dominique Armani Jones is his actual name.
That's not what we're calling him here on the show.
And his song Pretty Little Baby recently went viral on TikTok. Okay. I would not know.
All right.
You're a TikTok guy.
Well, right? Maybe I've heard it. I have no idea. Yeah. We'll find out.
You and Vrabel up there trading recipes?
Yeah, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Vrabel's still a friend of the show.
Yeah, he's coming on soon,
still
I swear.
Still a devoted listener to the program. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So an interesting story that Pete Nakos did on On3 about Luke Altmyer, who is the quarterback at Illinois. And, Joe, if you remember, his name came up when Nico Iamaliava left Tennessee, went in the transfer portal, and we were trying to identify, all right, who could Tennessee target and try to bring in as their next quarterback. A lot of people wanted Altmyer, who had a really good year last year with Illinois. And it's an interesting quote in here. So the article starts basically just talking about Tennessee and Nico Iamaliava and the pursuit of quarterbacks and Altmyer being a very popular name that was thrown around out there. And here was the quote that Altmyer told On3 about why he stayed at Illinois. Quote, there were opportunities for me to venture onward to the next level, but also to be able to play in another program. That's just the reality of it. And the NCAA and college football world that we live in, being from Mississippi and in SEC country, that's a very, very attractive thing to be able to play in that conference, play in front of people that I know, and in stadiums that I've been in before, grew up watching and loving. It was certainly an attraction and a real thing. A difficult decision, but I know what's important. I know what's being created here, talking about Illinois, and the trust, unity, and connection I have amongst my teammates, this community, and my coaches. The success is waiting for me here. It'd be foolish to pick up and start over and take a risk when I have a lot of trust that's been earned and built. That's what Altmyer had to say. So, of course, Tennessee fans have found this and have started tweeting at Lou Altmyer about, man, you're going to regret not coming to Tennessee, we would have loved to have you at Tennessee. So what do you make of Altmyer's kind of stance there where he's like, look, I'm from SEC country. It was very tempting, but he decided to stay at Illinois. Everybody's connecting this dot to Tennessee, which makes sense. I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be just Tennessee that you can connect the dot to, but what do you make of Altmyer's position there?
Yeah, it's an interesting story because it basically is saying that, you know, Tennessee came after him and he turned him down without saying it.
Yeah.
But I have to think, like, the timing of this, who else? Who
it
else,
makes sense.
Who else is all of a sudden just out of nowhere coming after Luke Altmyer, right? Right. Like, I mean, it's got to be Heupel. So, you know, first of all, Altmyer is a good story. He's a good player. Illinois plays that. You talk about a square-headed, just good old tough guy ball coach. Oh, huh? Yeah. That Brett Bielema. Does Brett Bielema fall into the tough guy coach or the nice guy coach?
I think he's tough guy coach.
Okay. He's kind of a goofball.
He is.
But he's a good player, Altmyer. I don't know that would have, you know, changed the math all that much. Look, I watched a lot more of him than Joey Aguilar last year.
Yeah.
He's a solid player. Might have been – I mean, and there's a reason they would go after him, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it probably would have been the best scenario that of the ones that we know about. But I don't know that it would have been like, oh, well, here's a national title contender in Knoxville now.
Yeah, I mean, he threw for 2,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 picks last year. He was good. Last year in Illinois. So, you know, it's a different offense, obviously, at Tennessee. What would that translate to?
Very different.
I have no idea. But he does have a lot of experience. It's just interesting, like that last part of that quote there, I think it's really interesting in terms of, like, he basically, Altmyer lays it out like, yeah, the SEC is pretty tempting, and I think he even referred to it as the next level in his quote, which, is he talking about the pros? I don't know what he's talking about there.
The last time you read the quote, I think he was saying he could have gone to the NFL or he could have gone to another program,
right.
I think. But, yeah, that'd be hilarious if he's like, yeah, I got a chance to go to the next
up
level.
Here. Yeah. But he's talking about, like, how tempting it was basically to go to the SEC, but – says, quote, it'd be foolish to pick up and start over and take a risk when I have a lot of trust that's earned and built. It's like that goes back to the conversation of, like, the portal window and having the one in the spring. Like, if you're a quarterback especially, how many quarterbacks are you going to see just jump in the spring window based on, especially if you're an established guy, just based on, like, how quickly you've got to learn a new offense, get incorporated in a new place. Like, there's a lot that goes into that, which I think a lot of people were stunned, Joe, that by the time they got through that process that Aguilar is where they ended up, and he may end up being a good player for Tennessee, I don't know, but I think a lot of people expected, like, a Luke Altmyer to end up being the quarterback for Tennessee, and maybe we undervalued how much of a jump that is that late in the spring portal.
Yeah, and again, going from that offense, I mean, Brett Bielema, that is classic Big Ten football, downhill running, play action, you know, really more like a lot of NFL offenses, and you'd be coming into a very different offense. Not that he couldn't do it, but it's a big change. I'm sure, you know, to be lured into that move, probably a pretty significant pay bump that was offered.
You would think.
I'd love to know what the attempt would have been to get him in terms of dollar value compared to, like, what you were paying Nico. Because, look, there has been inflation, and that's part of why I think Nico and Big Nick were looking for more money. You look around, and there's some other quarterbacks making more. The thing that they, again, failed to get is, like, Tennessee invested in you when you were in high school still, and you were making that money not playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but still, so if you're Tennessee and you're like, no, we're not paying you, then how much were you trying to pay Luke Altmyer to come here? I'd love to know. Probably won't.
I mean, really, this story, you know, we bring up Brett Bielema, just kind of reminds me of, he had an opportunity in the Citrus Bowl this past year to really just punch Shane Beamer on top of the head, and he didn't do it. And I'm kind of upset about it.
He did clown him a little bit, though.
He did.
He had some fun at his expense.
I love, like, Shane Beamer, like, acting like he's got to be held back by his assistant coaches with Brett Bielema. Like, what are you going to do against Brett Bielema, man? Guy's three times your size.
Brett Bielema is going to eat you like a cheese curd.
Just hell.
Yeah.
Hold me back, guys. Hold me back. 615-737.
Your contempt for Shane Beamer is just palpable.
Well, you know, some things never die.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll play each other in the playoff this year.
Is he your least favorite, like, sports figure?
Shane Beamer, he's up there. I mean, I'm trying to think.
You're not a huge Dabo fan.
Not a huge Dabo guy, although I like Dabo more than I like Shane Beamer. I have a irrational, hatred's a strong word, but Derek White of the Celtics, I'm the only human being on earth that doesn't really like him.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, it's just because every time he played the Heat, I was like, who is this guy hitting corner threes all the time over here? It's Derek White. But yeah, like Shane Beamer's up there. I really don't have a whole lot of hatred for people right now in sports. I'm trying to think.
It's just it's all focused on Shane Beamer.
Yeah.
You need to.
And Caleb Williams has potential.
You need to diversify a little bit, you know?
I mean, Saban's
plenty
gone.
Of people out there.
Yeah. So.
You hated Saban?
Well, yeah, he's the head coach of Alabama.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
You have to, right? Yeah.
I also found him funny at times, but yeah.
Yeah, you have to there too.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. We'll have Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 at 8 o'clock. We'll get into Tennessee's win against Wake Forest last night with him and their advancement to the Super Regionals against Arkansas. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I want to show you the original version of how the hog call was done that dates all the way back to 1932. You
let's
ready?
See it.
This is Jared's fault, ripping on my shirt.
Are we doing the pig suit? All right, so let's do it one time. Show me it again. Go ahead.
Hello, good friends.
I know. Finger wheel goes very important.
Yeah.
Multiple times you've talked about marrying your cousin. So
for me, that's a very fulfilling moment, borderline erotic.
But sometimes I definitely notice my nipples.
You go all the way down and twirl your arms
okay.
And go, woo, pegs,
shoey,
Razorbacks. Oh, that felt so good. Oh.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning here on the program.
We're going to get ourselves an FCC violation. Getting a little bit saucy on the program here.
It's all clean.
Yeah, just suggestive, you know. So I don't even remember what I was going to yell about my kids. There's so much, I've got plenty of fodder here. But I'll hold off because I'm into this thing now. So I've gone through, okay? Because, again, here, let me make the rant part of it. Like I said earlier, I should just take the audio from earlier. Like, the idea that Brian Callahan's personality is, like, a non-starter in terms of being an effective coach is truly incredible. It really is. So now I'm going through. I've gone through the entire Super Bowl era.
Okay.
Okay?
That was quick.
Now, there's a few. I know. There's a few who are debatable. So we can go back and forth. I've thrown a couple at you. Let's go with Super Bowl era tough guy coaches.
Okay.
Who have won Super Bowls. This is winning a Super Bowl. I've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I got 16 guys.
Okay.
Who are tough guy coaches. Obviously, Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
Don Shula, he was known as a very tough guy. Chuck Knoll. You know, Tom Landry, pretty stoic, but, I mean, he's over there with the hat. I mean, he's in the tough guy coaches. Ditka, Parcells, Jimmy Johnson, goofball Barry Switzer says, hey, thanks, I'll take a Super Bowl on your coattails. I'm going to go Mike Shanahan here. I'll put Mike Shanahan in the tough guy coaches
Fair.
Category.
Yep.
Brian Billick. Bill Belichick, we will give Gruden to the tough guy team, but I think he's debatable. Bill Cowher, I think he's right in there. Tom Coughlin, no question. Mike Tomlin, putting him in there. And then Sean Payton was one I asked you about, but I think you're right. I won't use the word that you used.
Yeah.
But I think that he would fall into that category. Okay. How about the nice guy coaches team? Okay, the second guy to win a Super Bowl, Weeb Eubank, famously a nice guy. That's what's interesting is, like, there's some of these guys actually going back were, like, not at all what you think of as your classic football coach. Weeb Eubank absolutely is in the nice guy coach team. Now, Hank Stram, I bet you Hank Stram yelled at some dudes, but he's also over there. Like, nice hey, guy. Yeah, hey, come on, here we go.
You got to matriculate the ball down the field.
Exactly. The NFL films, I'm giving him the nice guy team. You can debate me on that, but I'm putting him there. Don McCafferty, by the way, is a protege of Don Shula, famously calm, famously easygoing. So we're going back to the early days before I was born, and some of these coaches winning Super Bowls were nice guys. John Madden, is he not on the nice guy team?
You would think so.
I mean, again, anybody who's watched NFL films, and I like love NFL films, going back to those, look at the games where he's mic'd up. He's just over there, basically the same guy he was in the booth. Just like, boom, all right, hey, guys, hey, here we go. I mean, he's on the nice guy team. Tom Flores, another Raiders champion, he's on the nice guy team. Now, Joe Gibbs, we could have a debate about. I'm putting him here. I give Gruden to the other team. I'm taking Gibbs for nice guys.
It washes out there.
It's close.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh, no question. Mr. Professorial over there. Okay, guys, here we go. No question. George Seifert, his protege. No question. He's on the nice guy team. Mike Holmgren, absolutely. Dick Vermeil, yep. Tony Dungy, uh-huh. Mike McCarthy.
Nice guy.
He's on the nice guy team. Now, some will debate this. I think his brother would be on the other team. But John Harbaugh, he's over there. Lamar, you want to go for it? Yeah, let's go for it. John Harbaugh's on the nice guy team. Pete Carroll, easily. I'm putting Gary Kubiak on this team. I'm putting Doug Peterson. I'm putting Doug Peterson on this team. I'm Andy Reid, of course. You said it earlier. Bruce Arians, yep. I'm putting Sean McVay on this team.
That's fair.
Nick Sirianni.
I mean, he kind of doesn't feel like either.
He's on the goofball guy team, but I'm putting him on the nice guy team.
That's fine, yeah. I mean, I definitely would not call him like some hardliner.
Okay. So, let's see. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All-time Super Bowl champion coaches. It's 20 for the nice guys. It's 16 for the tough guys. And it might be close. You could take a few other guys if you want, but it's at least a wash.
Yeah. I mean, the point is you don't have to be, as you pointed out earlier, Vince Lombardi out there in his demeanor to connect with the players and go win. Now, right. You can do – I mean, that's the interesting part about head coaches in the league is different styles win. Like, it's not just this is the way you got to do it, right? And I would even say, like, I think, like, Belichick was probably a little bit different later in the process than he was earlier. In the process, like I think there's some differences as they go along here. Like it's interesting to me when you line it up this way, and even if you want to forget the first, I don't know, 15, 20 Super Bowls, and you just want to go back recent history, like think about it. You've got in recent years, Kansas City and Andy Reid winning Super Bowls, Belichick winning Super Bowls, Pete Carroll he's winning Super Bowls. You got Tom Coughlin not that long ago in 2012. Winning Super Bowls. Like, totally different in the way that they approach things.
Yeah. And look, I think that part of the hire Brian Callahan, I do think it happens all the time. What was the last guy like? Didn't like him. Don't like him now. I like this very different kind of guy. But I also think in sports, like it or not, there is more collaboration. Look, I've said this before. When I was a fantastic athlete, a dominant elite athlete, but when I was growing up playing sports in high school, I always responded better to coaches who yelled. Some of it was because I like to, like, oh, well, I'll show you, you know? But, like, I just responded to tough coaches, and I was more used to that. But I think today, you know, there is less yelling. There is more, quote-unquote, collaboration. And, I mean, you can say that's society getting soft. That's fine. But that's just the reality of what it is. And Brian Callahan – came in first on that player survey, which, again, I know if they'll lose and people say, well, there you go. That's why you don't hire someone the players like. But it was something that worked in his favor. And I don't think that that's a mistake. I don't think it's a bad thing to look at that and care about that because you want your high-paid laborers to like their work environment.
You do.
Now, you want to win.
It's being a nice guy takes you so far, right? Like at some point you got to win. So that's really what it ultimately comes down to. But I think to your point, what this list shows you is like there's not one way you have to be in order to win. I mean, some of it is just as simple as what do your players look like? Like, how good your quarterback this year? Some of it's just as simple as that, right? I mean,
it's let's be real.
You remember when the knock on Andy Reid was that he couldn't win the big games, right? Like, it's like Andy Reid, he makes it to all these conference championships, but he can't get it done. It's like, then he gets Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and it's like, oh wow! All of a sudden, Andy Reid just wins all these big games all the time.
He's so much smarter. He's learned. He's gotten smarter. It's amazing. Yeah. I feel bad for David from Paris, who look, man, you created a rant, a segment, a lot of conversation today, but he says, no mas, I give, Joe. I was wrong. I ran my mouth before I thought. I'm giving myself a self-imposed timeout. No, you don't need to feel bad.
No.
I mean, honestly, having gone through this, I'm a little surprised. I hadn't really thought about it in these terms, but it's like, God, there are a lot of like super nice guys who have won in the NFL.
I mean, Dick Vermeil.
Not everybody can be Dick.
I mean, Dick Vermeil was like crying on the sideline for half the Super Bowl against the Titans.
I love you guys so much.
You guys are just so awesome.
All right, we're going to punt. I love you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and their win against Wake Forest in the regional final last night and the upcoming Super Regional against Arkansas. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.